We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is OMF on EEI.
In fairness to Cam, I'm not sure he had the proper weapons around him last year, and then he got COVID, and there were a lot of things that happened, and I don't know that Jared has ever really gotten a fair shot. I think he's a great young man, and I know that he's eager to compete and look for an opportunity to play. He's showed great initiative in putting this workouts together on his own out in California. I'm not sure he's really been tested. I'm very a big fan of his. And I really do believe that Cam getting COVID and what it did to the team, and it changed a lot when we were in a good place.
So Robert Kraft, speaking yesterday with the media, spent considerable time with him. And said a bunch of stuff, some stuff that you wonder what Bill Belichick's reaction was. But the one thing he did do is he spent a lot of time on the quarterbacks, and it wasn't just Cam Newton. I mean, he made excuses for him. You just heard it right there, having COVID, and said he got better as the season progressed on. I don't know where he got better, what he saw. But Jarrett Stidham got an awful lot of love from the owner of the Patriots. So is that just blowing smoke out there? Is that just Kraft trying to be the nice guy, or is Stidham still somewhere in the game plan here?
I would say, well, first of all, I think he's definitely being polite. Like, definitely being polite. Going to say nice things about each guy, you know, compliment each guy. You know, oh, he did such a great job. Showed initiative, isn't that? Yeah, look at you. Look at you, go-getter. Showing the right initiative to go out there and get something done. Man, I love that about you. It doesn't mean I want you to start, but okay, that's a polite way of giving you a compliment, you know, with completely ignoring all your faults. So I do believe that he is not happy with the way things are going. I don't think he likes either one of these guys. So he has to kind of, you know, build up these excuses for him. Because think about what he's been dealing with for 20 years. He looks out there and says, these guys can't hold a candle to my boy Tommy. Like, I can't do it.
No.
So he has to be as nice as he can. Because I do think that he believes, he's already talked to Bill, they already have identified the two or three guys that they want, and they're going to go after and get them.
Well, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. Because another thing, too, I took of that is about Cam, and he didn't have the weapons. And as I sort of look at it as like him just looking at Bill, you know, and probably Bill just, they all buy it, right? They all believe in Cam Newton. Like, they all believe that, you know, the weapons weren't there, and that you put him around some weapons, and he'll be better, and we'll win more games, Robert, I'm telling you. But then it comes back to, okay, but you're the one responsible, right, for, like, the weapons? Like, you're the one responsible, right? And you're also responsible for the lack of drafts and me spending out millions of dollars and not preparing it. So, you know, I think Tommy Curran wrote about it, and he's like, he's not exactly putting Bill on the hot seat or on blast. But I do think if I'm an owner, there is some frustration about what's gone on here in the last couple of years and where your franchise is right now and where it's going. I think it has to be. Guy just dished out all this cash. And usually when you dish out that kind of money, it's not just to get even. It's to kind of put yourself, to make yourselves the favorite in the AFC. The Patriots, with all the money they spent, they're still not the favorites to win their division. They're still, to me, not a contender in the AFC. And a lot of it has to do with that quarterback position that he's trying to justify.
Listen, I think it's very dangerous taking the side that we didn't have the weapons last year. Well, you didn't, and we get that. You didn't. But suddenly you believe that you're bringing these weapons in, and it suddenly is going to make Cam Newton that much better. I just don't see it, guys. I don't buy it. I think part of the problem last year is he was underthrowing guys, overthrowing guys. That's not going to change. So you're going to have better receivers, right? But how is that going to change?
I mean, even if Cam Newton doesn't get an ounce better, like all his accountability coaches like fail him and they don't hold him accountable. And he ends up, you know, getting worse, getting slower, getting weaker, gaining weight, being 260. Even if he does exactly what he gave you last year, based on the talent and the coaching that you have, you're a 10-win team.
Now, I disagree with that.
Getting out of bed, you're 10 wins.
In a 17-game season.
In 11. So under that scenario, I think you're 11 wins.
I still think you're 10.
11-6? Here's why I don't buy that. Because last year, because they didn't have the weapons, what Josh McDaniels did is he reeled back the offense and said, we're going to be really conservative here. We're going to run the football an awful lot. We're not going to take chances, and we're not going to throw the football much. So you bring in two tight ends who can catch the football. You bring in two wide receivers who can catch the football, and maybe even another one that comes out of the draft or whatever, and you're not going to utilize those guys? You're going to keep the two tight ends you have and say, you know, we're going to play heavy here, and we're going to continue to run the football. Because once Cam Newton has to open it up and throw the football, that's where he turns the ball over. And when he turns the ball over, you don't win those games, guys.
Well, I do think is interesting is that there is – I don't think Bill is ever going to be at risk of losing his job. You know, looking incompetent, you know, that's a strong word for Bill, but it is. And lack of a better word, sorry.
Prepared.
Is that, you know, there is this human eraser that is Tom Brady. It allows you to miss on so many picks just by the nature of him being great. So now let's see if you can overcome it when you miss. Like when guys that you hope to rely on moving forward don't pan out, get injured. Trent Brown ends up showing up to camp at 420 pounds. You know, the tight ends never do anything. Like all these, the whoever you draft, like N'Keal Harry proving once again that you completely missed out on that opportunity. What a waste of a pick. The dude can't stay on the field, and when he is on the field, he doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah. No, listen, Bill's Bill. He's not going to go anywhere, okay? But it doesn't mean Robert's going to be happy with him. You know, when he started talking about like how to properly build football teams and how you got to do it through the draft and you don't do it through free agency, you know, and this is a man that just spent how many millions of dollars through free agency trying to buy himself a new football team, you know, and just to complain about the weapons again. And it's just, it really has been an issue for Bill. I don't know for how many years now. I mean, if you're Robert Kraft and you're the owner, you think about, and Tommy Cohen wrote about it some more and mentioned some of these names, but if you're the owner and you're forced to bring in a guy like Josh Gordon in a trade week two, week three, because Bill didn't put a wide receiving grouping together, that's probably not comfortable given his history. Or you're forced to sign a guy like Michael Floyd, given the issues he had out in Arizona where he doesn't even know where he is at a stoplight. He's so drunk.
A little lost.
Or be forced to bring in a guy like Antonio Brown because you didn't plan well in the offseason at the wide receiver position and be forced to trade for a guy in Mohamed Sanu and a second-round pick because, once again, you didn't plan at the position. Like, I don't know how you can be happy about that. And then to sit there and say, well, Brady wouldn't have made a difference anyways, really. I mean, look what he did last year at the end of the year. Why? Because he didn't have anybody to throw to.
Yeah.
And look at Cam this year. He didn't have anybody to throw to either. So how long, really, did there was really nobody to throw to here for the New England Patriots, but Brady was able to mask
a lot of that. Yeah, but I think there's a big point if Tom Brady throwing to those receivers.
No, I agree.
And Cam Newton. And I think if
But even when Brady was here, I just mentioned all those desperate moves by Bill in season to upgrade a wide receiving core that he couldn't build in the offseason.
Right.
Like, that's kind of, what are we doing?
And N'Keal Harry shows you another one that they went out and drafted, used a first-round draft pick. And to this point, does anybody really believe he's going to be on the roster? They're going to deal him away. They'll deal him away draft day, probably. But, you know, he addressed the draft, and he was willing to be critical Certainly it's of Bill Belichick because Bill Belichick is running the program. But Kraft clearly did that. But I thought it was interesting that he said we're taking a different approach.
Well, he's hoping.
So it's pretty obvious he sat down with Belichick and they've had this conversation. What the hell's happening? What's going on with our drafts here? Why are we not, you know?
See, but again, the different approaches.
So what's the different approach?
The different approach, I definitely think that Kraft is, not that he needs to give him the green light, because I do think he stays out of the way, but I do think he says, listen, just so you know, I'm good with moving up, being aggressive. You've already done it. We've already spent a lot of money. Why stop now? Why stop? Let's keep going. Let's be all in on this year, and don't worry about the criticism. Don't worry about anything. I mean, so let's draft. Let's move up in the draft. Let's get a guy that we think can help us. Let's be strategic about it, obviously. But don't leave this draft without a quarterback in the first round. Do what you have to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's about quarterback in the first round, because I think already we've seen three of those quarterbacks already being taken by
other
teams.
How can you say that? How can you say it's not about a quarterback? That's all we're talking about is the quarterback in the first round.
I don't think they're necessarily talking about that. I really believe it.
Oh, I don't know.
The different
really?
Yeah,
they
think
better be.
I think the different approach is something totally different.
Like what?
More NFL-ready players that they have a tendency.
Out of the draft?
Yes, they have a tendency of getting guys that have, you know, great upside. And Tom Brady, as you've mentioned many times, and it's fact, Tom Brady covered up an awful lot.
I know,
lot
but
over
you're still
years.
Not really giving me you just think that they want someone who can come in and start right away. Because that's what all rookies do.
Yeah, not
McCourty was one that started right away. Nate Solder didn't start right away. Hightower was playing right away. Gerard Mayo was playing right away.
NFL-ready guys.
But those are defense. Like, okay, it's rare for a quarterback to come in and be ready right away.
They won't be.
I didn't say they're going to move up and draft.
Yeah, but your reasoning. Okay, so you're a no on them drafting a quarterback in the first round.
I do not believe they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Moving up, go and get one. Yep, Justin.
I actually think that Todd McShay made some sense today. When he had them moving up in the draft, providing Justin Fields is available, and providing they're interested in Justin Fields, who seems to be the guy during all the pro days who's dropping. I don't know why.
Well, you're hoping the first step, you got to get past four, right? Because then careful with the trades. Because, you know, Atlanta, Cincy, Miami. You know, you would think, personally, I don't think either one of those teams are drafting a quarterback. Now, the question is, does somebody move up in front? So then it starts getting funny, right? Then it starts getting weird. You know, with Detroit and Carolina there at 7-8. So that's kind of where it gets interesting. So maybe, you know, if your intel is telling you that these teams aren't going quarterback, you know, now you start looking at Detroit. Now you start looking at them trying to get in front of Carolina. Maybe you're battling Carolina. Because I thought it was interesting in McShay's mock draft, he had Carolina trading up one spot to Detroit. Now they had them getting Trey Lance, but moving up one spot for Trey Lance, probably fearing that other teams are trading with Detroit to move up and get that quarterback. You trade up one spot?
Yeah, he has him trading up to 11 and taking Justin Fields. Now, 11 wouldn't be that painful. What do you have to give up? You know, something he says, I'm not sure the Patriots would jump into the top 10 for a quarterback, but hopping four spots for one is very much a possibility. The Giants could certainly stay put and draft Sewell, but they could also be looking at defense, which means a slide back makes more sense. And for their troubles, the Patriots would likely send them something in the ballpark of a third rounder this year and either a second or third rounder in 2022. That's enough to move up from 15
to
11.
Another head coach that owes him a favor.
Hey, that's a good point.
Your career.
That is a good point.
I built your career. You owe me a favor.
Good point.
I'll give you a third.
But I don't see them. So I think that's the highest they can move up without actually having to give up a ransom. If you're talking about moving from 15 to 4.
How about 7?
I think 7 is going to be costly too, because the problem with 11, and you're not going to know until draft day, even let's say they have a deal, a possible deal with the Giants. If our guy is available at 11, we'll do this deal with you.
Yeah.
You could get to draft day, and Justin Fields could be long gone at 7 or 8.
That's why you got to talk to Detroit at 7.
Yeah.
That's why you got to talk to Detroit at 7.
And Carolina, according to the draft trade charts by Jimmy Johnson, I think made this, that would be your first round pick this year at 15 and number 46, your second round pick. That would be enough in the value to go up to 7.
What was the second one you gave?
Just the second round
15
pick?
15 and number 46.
Oh, you do that all day long. First and second round pick to go up and get your quarterback at 7?
To number 7, correct.
I do it all day. All day. Then I trade Gilmore to get back. because I'm crazy like that. No, I don't know. Gilmore, I think, will be an interesting one come draft day. But I think you do that. If you think he's your quarterback, that's what Kraft's talking about, solidifying your quarterback position. Like, to me, it's not – they could go – I know everyone's talking Kellen Mond and all this stuff, second, third round, find a quarterback in the third round. Yeah, I don't know if that solidifies it. I still think that's like a shot in the dark. That's like stuff you used to do when you had Brady.
Yeah.
Draft a guy in the third round, draft a guy in the fourth round, and just, I don't know, see what he looks like, and maybe you got an asset or you might need him or whatever. But the situation that they're in, I don't think that's solidifying your quarterback position, and I think it puts you in the same spot a year later, just like we were last year. You know, we're saying, okay, a year from now, what? Now what? Unless you know what Stidham is, you get the same question marks, and here we are. And we could be here in the same spot next year if you don't do something like that.
I totally agree with you on that point, because if you're not in the first round and you're in a second or the third, I mean, nobody's feeling great about that. I mean, yeah, you know, he's the quarterback of the future. Now, he's not Russell Wilson. You know, odds are that he probably won't be Jimmy Garoppolo. But what about Matt Castle? He never even played in college. Again, it's just we're talking about a guy that can come in year two and play.
Yeah, but
Cam Newton's on a one-year deal.
We're also talking about, if they move up to 11, the guy that most teams in the league felt of the five top quarterbacks was the fifth best up on the board. And if you want to look at past history, and we can look at Jared Goff going one and Carson Wentz going two. You can look at Mariota and Winston, one and two. Winston went number one. We can look at all of these quarterbacks that were high up in the draft, and they became nothing. They couldn't develop into those players. You're going to get the guy that you might think is great, but most teams thought he was the fifth best quarterback in the draft, just to move up to number 11 and do that. I'm not sure that necessarily is the smartest move unless you absolutely love Justin Fields. Let me go to the phone calls here. Steve's in Bill Ricker wants to talk about quarterbacks. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, my God, guys. Listen, I find it comical. I don't see how there's even a chance Belichick's going to have any intention on drafting and developing another quarterback. He did it once. It was thrown out the door. Look how pissed he was. In fact, he was so pissed. If it wasn't for the Shula record he's chasing, I think he would have pulled a Bill Parcells, no doubt. He would have been gone.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
He drafted
Bill
Garoppolo?
I think Belichick would have taken off.
Because of Garoppolo? You said a quarterback he drafted and they got rid of. Garoppolo?
Yeah. Bill drafted and developed.
So, Steve, so help me out then. Bill never takes a quarterback because he's pissed at what happened with Garoppolo, ever?
No. Basically, if you want to put it that way, maybe. But he's just chasing the record, Lou. That's it. Once he need to tell you one thing, and you're going to remember this call because it's going to come true. He's going to ride Newton the whole way, barring injury. He has Newton for the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh God,
until he breaks a record and then he's out,
Steve. And that's going to help him get the record? No, Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Steve, you can't.
Oh my God. Stop it.
We'll save this call, Steve.
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll
put
it
in the I do believe that he's going to ride him. I mean,
this year?
Yes.
No, this year.
Well, you might have to. But I don't think it's his number one choice. I don't think it's something he wants to do. It's something he's forced to do because he doesn't have somebody better.
Glenn, how can you say it's not his number one choice?
It's not his number one choice.
He signed him before free agency started.
He paid him $3.5 million.
Whatever. He was a choice. You can't sign a guy before free agency and say he's not my number one choice. Another free agent is, or whatever. Like, he was his number one choice. He signed him before free agency started.
At the time, he did. But
okay, but
when you only pay a guy,
he could have signed anyone else.
But when you only pay a guy $3.5 million, yes, he took him over the other guys that were out there. What guy did you want him to take? Andy Dalton? He took him over Andy Dalton. I'll give you that.
I'd rather have Andy Dalton. Dalton gets a bad rap.
I think he believes he's more comfortable, obviously, with Cam Newton than he is with Andy Dalton, and he probably didn't want to pay Andy Dalton $10 million like the Bears did. He took Cam Newton back because Cam Newton did not want to wait the 86 days. They wanted to make sure they calmed him down. And by the way, some of that money, and it could be as high as, what, $5.5 million without all those other incentives that he probably can't reach. They probably are giving him some money for last year.
Glenn, he's a starting quarterback. Like, he is. He's a starting
until they find a better quarterback.
Next year.
Oh, I think there's a possibility.
And I don't think they would sign Cam Newton because they don't want him to go through 86 more days or him to calm down. I think they signed him They don't just give a guy even $3.5 million to make him feel better about himself. They sign him because they think he can play, which is the scary part.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
The future quarterback of the New England Patriots, it needs to be drafted in April. They need to grab this guy now. Like the future, we need to be talking about him. We need to be booing Cam Newton because he's playing like crap, and we need to be yelling and screaming his name
with fans.
Maloney.
We want
Maloney.
We'll be up to 18% by September, I'm sure. At Gillette, he will get booed. You're seeing fans react to it. We saw the Celtic fans last night. They were booing.
Different story. Okay, they're circling the drain right now. The Patriots are going to have, as far as. Like, okay, so you have your elite teams, and there's a few of them, two, three, maybe on a good year, elite. Like, man, everything is high level. Then you have your next tier where you're just talking about good, competent, competitive, quality football teams with good leadership and good players. Maybe they just don't have the crazy, funky new wave offense, or maybe the whatever. But listen, you get them all, you play a bad game, they'll beat you. Like Tennessee is like that. They don't have the best players, but they're really tuned into their coach and their organization and their overall philosophy.
Yeah, and they can run the crap out of the ball.
I know, but like, and they have an identity. And even though their defense sucked, hell, you make some bad decisions. You do a bad job of managing the clock or just managing circumstances. They'll beat you.
I think it's crazy to think that you bring in all of these additional weapons so that you can open up your passing game. That's what you're going to do. And Cam Newton is going to be the one engineering the passing game.
Wait, what is wrong with that?
I just don't think it'll work. I don't think he's an accurate enough passer. We saw it last year.
We are not talking high-level, like, masterclass-type throws. We're not talking. You know, every now and then, sure. But I think this offense, with him at it, is going to be really controlled. I think what they're going to say is, we know what we're going to do. We know that you know what we're going to do. Try and stop us. I do. Okay, you want to do this? Okay, fine. We'll run play action. Mm-hmm. We'll run quarterback draw. We'll run quarterback power. We'll put our tight end in the backfield and run a sweep and get 30 yards. To me, they have lots of options. It's not nearly as predictable and easy to defend as it was last year.
I will give you that because you have better weapons, but you still have a quarterback.
He took the approach of building a team first, and that's what they did. They built a team, and now they'll try to win enough with this guy, and they're going to draft their quarterback for 2022. Yeah. That's why they got all these guys on multi-year deals except for Cam. And whoever the next guy comes in with works with these guys a little bit as the season goes. And then next year, he's your guy.
I hope you're right. It would be exciting to see the move up and get the quarterback. I don't see it happening. Here's Dave in Mystic, Connecticut. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Dave.
I just want to throw something out, but you know, that makes sense to me. That a few years ago, Garoppolo was dealt to San Francisco for basically a second-round pick. Now, my feeling is Belichick's friends with him out there. And he basically said, hey, Brady's going to be here for a few more years. You got him for a few years. I'm going to basically give this guy that everybody thought was going to be a franchise quarterback to you for a second-round draft choice, which is it's a little unheard of. Now, my feeling is Garoppolo's coming back. I think the favor is going to be dealt back to him. That's why San Francisco wants to be – they want to go up and they want to get a quarterback. And I think it's Stephon Gilmore is going to go, and you're going to see a second-round pick, though, and you're going to see Garoppolo, the next quarterback.
You're going to trade Stephon Gilmore and a second-round draft pick to get Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah. I think that's what's coming.
Bill should be fired.
Oh, I mean, come on. Save it.
I mean, come on.
Save it.
Come on. You can't give that up. That's
Dave, listen, I don't think...
Gilmore, you only have Gilmore for one more year.
Dave, I really don't think that San Fran trades for Jimmy with kind of like, what if Jimmy worked out? Would they have to trade him back to New England? Like when Brady leaves? Like if Jimmy was playing really well and healthy and they were just one of the better teams, they would just say, man... We really love this guy.
You know,
but
your word is your word, and these guys are like businessmen. Their word is their word.
That's how sports works.
Sure. You can trust them.
You guys laugh now when I call back in another month or so.
You can call back in another month because I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback of the New England Patriots.
I'm not
questioning that, Dave. I'm questioning that they had this deal in which we borrow Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 years and then we give him back to you, and it's a little under-the-table deal. I'm laughing at that. I think that one is ludicrous. I do believe that there's a good chance that Jimmy Garoppolo comes back, because I think the 49ers are ready to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm not sure there are going to be a lot of takers out there. He's making too much money. A lot of teams don't have that money. And teams fear, the way the 49ers do right now, that he's injury prone. And I don't think there's any way of getting around that. That's a problem. So I don't think he's got great value out there. I heard Danny Ainge this morning on the Cross Town here, and he was complaining about how the biggest problem his team has right now is they're not healthy. We never get all of the players. It's funny. I see that on all these other teams. Has anybody noticed the Brooklyn Nets have not been healthy now for 3 months? Has anybody noticed that James Harden is out with an injury now?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how all of these other teams that have all of these injuries are still winning. Maybe that's not what it is, Danny. We'll break it down for you coming up next. Bill should be fired.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
Who doesn't like fun?
Back to OMF
on WEEI.
5-point game. Tatum will pick it up and shoot it. And that's the ball game. Dallas comes in and wins by 5, 113-108. Luka, everything he was cracked up to be, finishes with 36 points.
It's just the same old story. It's like 12-minute droughts because we don't respond.
And tonight offensively, I don't know what they were doing. Like, they keep taking these steps backwards offensively of not moving the ball, not making the extra pass, not making the pass on time, on target, going ISO ball, taking bad shots after bad shots, my turn, basketball. And to be honest with you, for the first time, I really don't have an explanation or an answer on why they are playing this way.
They took us out of it, and they forced us, because that's probably our reputation, to not respond for 10 to 12 minutes. And that changed again.
All right, so the Celtics are hard to watch, but look at it this way. You pretty much know exactly what's going to happen. They take a 25-point lead, they get to within 2, and they lose. Or they take a 17-point lead, they get to within 3, and then they lose. Or they take a 23-point lead, they get to within 2, and then they lose. I mean, at least we know everything that they're doing, right?
Yeah, you know, this is it's Groundhog Day. And, you know, it's funny. I finally hear the frustration and irritation in Brad's voice. I finally hear it. Do this, and we do this, and we can't do this, and the same old thing, and we wait. Like, it's happening to everybody. Like, everybody's starting to realize that no matter what they do, no matter how many team meetings they have, no matter who they bring in to kind of give them hope, nothing's going to change.
No, they're just not a good team, and it's dead ass, too, and it sucks. That second half, when they got back into the game, you saw the defense. You saw the intensity. But it's almost like these guys don't want to work that hard. You know, they can do it for spurts, I guess, but they just they can't do it for long stretches. They don't know what it takes, I guess, to win. And it's frustrating to watch. And, yeah, Brad finally sounded frustrated about this team, but it's getting tough to watch. And especially now, it seems like I feel like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have just been broken down, and maybe even Kemba, to the point where they realize it, because it looks like a very selfish game from all of them. Just very selfish. Tatum, to me, looks like a guy that's more concerned about making sure he gets that super max contract, make sure he's on the All-NBA team again so he can get his points and he can get the recognition and he can make more money. That's all he looks like he's in for right now.
I agree. And I don't think he's trying to make anybody else better on that team. I mean, the one thing you can look at Dallas, and that's not a great roster either. But Luka is a phenomenal player, and he makes everybody around him better. And there are nights he doesn't go out there and score 36 like he did last night, but he does all of the other things on both ends of the floor. This guy, Tatum and even Brown, to a lesser degree, they're not making anybody else better. And I look at it this way. You just brought Evan Fournier into the fold here. In the next 2 months, if you don't make him part of the team, if you're not one of the players that's incorporating in him, he's not going to be worth any money. Who's going to sign him?
Mm.
He's going to be a free agent. You're not going to want to sign him for 4 years at $80 million.
Well, he's another guy that eventually is going to start to get his because he knows he's a free agent as well.
Yeah.
It's just an individual game. So Danny Ainge was on, he spoke this morning, and he started talking about responsibility. He says, Brad has zero responsibility for us shooting 5 for 34 from three last night, most of them being open shots. He doesn't have responsibility when players improvise and are playing with a lack of emotion after they miss shots. The only thing that he can do is yank his best players out of the game and go with the other players. That's the only option he has. So who's he talking about? It's best players. And he's absolutely right.
Sounds like Bruce Cassidy.
Like, and again, it goes to me, I don't know, man, watching Tatum right now, and I kind of blame Danny because I feel like this is like snowballing to the fact that these stars realize they have no help whatsoever, and that's why you're starting to see this play. But, you know, a guy like Tatum last night, like, he just is, and it's probably just his personality. It's just too cool for school. Look how great I am. But he goes to the hoop and he dunks it with like 3.5 to go, down 6. Crowd, you know, starting to get this nice comeback. There is just, he just sort of walks around, shrugs his shoulders after the dunk, looks at the ref, throws his hands up like he should have got called for the foul, got the foul with it. He's pissed off. It's just, there's just no emotion whatsoever. And it brings it back with Kemba when they signed Evan Fournier, and he's like, we need that passion right now, especially on this team. We need it. And it's like, yeah, because your two best players don't really show any. There is no emotion. There is no passion on the court.
Yeah, it's a bigger issue than I thought it would be. Because even when you look at it, just, you know, that's why you sit there. It's the same old song and dance. The third straight game where they fell behind by 17 or more points, only just to lose in the end.
It won't be the last.
No, it won't be. And it's you know what it is? It's such a loser mentality. So it's almost like, all right, things are bad right now. Oh, let's try harder. They have to get themselves in a really bad situation in order for them to all collectively to determine and say, oh, we should probably fight because we're about to get blown up by 25 points, 23 points, 17 points. And they keep making a comeback, but then they end up losing. Like last night, 113-108 against the Pelicans. What was that? A Sunday? They lose 115-109. And then to the Bucks a couple of days after that, before that, 121-119. All the scores, the team that they lose to, they were never really threatened. They kind of relaxed a little bit, but they're like, okay, now we should start playing again.
Yeah, so Danny Ainge obviously went out of his way to try to take Brad Stevens off the pressure here, off the hot seat. And the reason he's doing it is because there are a lot of people now that are pointing fingers at Brad Stevens. Many of them were the same people who thought he was a brilliant coach and he was one of the five best coaches in the NBA, probably overrated him at the time. But to me, I don't think the coach is that big a deal. I mean, I'm looking at what Steve Nash is doing in Brooklyn. The players didn't even want Steve Nash in Brooklyn. They ripped him before he even coached one day. The coaches are not as important as the players in the NBA. This really does come down to Tatum, and it comes down to Jaylen Brown. And maybe they're too young and too immature, and they're worried about their own little game, their isolation game, and more concerned about their own numbers than they are about formulating a team that can go out and win games. And yet I look at a 21-year-old Luka Doncic and look at what he's doing. It's amazing to me how he makes everybody else better.
The biggest sign of just how unbelievably pathetic you are is when word gets out on the street that you don't respond.
It is fair to them to give them credit. And they played a hell of a game. And they took us out of it. And they forced us, you know, because that's probably our reputation, to not respond for 10 to 12 minutes.
That's it. You know, your reputation, word on the street, is if you play the Celtics and you punch them and you push them around and you get a lead, they don't respond. They give up. They pack it in. They have no spine. That, to me, is probably, I think, out of everything, that would piss me off the most.
No, this team is getting reputations. And even to the point, remember Jeff Goodman, like a month ago, talked to a player who just played the Celtics and said they're so easy to defend. You know, and they have two all-stars, but it's just them. They just score. They get the ball double because they are going to take it to the basket. You know, if you see isolation and they got a ball at the top of the key and the dribble through the legs and here we go, taking it to the hoop, they will finish. It'll be a tough shot. They'll complain about the foul if they miss. They'll hit the tough shot. Well, ooh and ah, talking about how great of a shot it was that they hit. But they're shooting. Like, I think sometimes you got to be triple teamed in order to kick it out. But for the most part, they shoot. It's one-on-one isolation ball. And it wasn't just Goody that talked about it a month ago. Kendrick Perkins last night said the exact same thing.
It's not hard to guard him, man. But just think about it. It's my turn basketball. So you watch Jason Tatum. He comes down. He's ISOing. He's trying to go between his legs. He's trying to take Kleba off the dribble. He's trying to go ISO. All right, next time down, we're going to see Kemba. He's going to get into his New York bag, hezzy in and out, sidestep. Everybody standing and watching, by the way, while they're doing this. Next time down, Jaylen Brown, it's my turn. Let me show you what I could do. And one mixtape. And it messes up the whole flow of the game. I keep saying, when others and everybody is not, if the ball is not moving offensively and there's no rhythm, that messes up your defensive intensity.
I love the
what defensive intensity.
But here's the thing. You know, we keep talking about this all-star, all-star, all-star. There's a thing about sports where they pick all-stars at the halfway point. Baseball, basketball, hockey, not football. Let's play a whole season. Because you look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown now, as far as, leaders and points per game. Okay, points leaders. You got guys like Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry. And if you remember, before the All-Star break, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were both inside the top 10. At some points, even higher than that, especially in the beginning of the season. Now, Jason Tatum is 15th and Jaylen Brown is 17th. If you were to pick an All-Star team now, neither one of them would make it.
Tatum would.
Because he's doing a Subway commercial.
Well, a reputation. He's a scorer.
But it's like, it just doesn't. Well, yeah, I guess he's averaging.
See, what I'd rather see?
Averaging, what, 25 points a game?
Somebody get his.
Yeah, somebody mentioned Russell Westbrook earlier, and if you look at Luka Doncic, and there are many nights he comes out with a triple-double. He had 36 last night with 8 rebounds and 5 assists, okay? And so that's the thing I'd like to see more from Tatum, because what he's doing is they're doubling him, and he's saying, screw it. I'm that good. I can fight through this double team, and I'll take the 3. And last night he was 1 of 8 from three-point territory. He had 3 assists. Jaylen Brown had 1 assist in the game last night.
Next time down, Jaylen Brown, it's my turn.
So, and that's the problem. And they're not willing to play any defense.
They got so many problems.
So now you're messed up on both ends of the floor. No, they're a mess. You talked about them getting a 4 seed. I thought these 7 games was a perfect opportunity.
Me too.
7 game homestand. They're facing teams that that are not that much better than them, or they're slightly better than them. But you're playing them at home. You're playing them before a crowd that booed them last night at the TD Garden. And right now they're 0-for-2
so
in the first two
games.
So
how does it usually go when situations like
go
this
go south? That's what
it doesn't
does.
Get better, right?
No.
So maybe you get to the playoffs and maybe you, lots of energy. No.
Man. You know what they would do, Christian? If the playoffs were to end today, they would play the play-in game against the Pacers. And if they won that game,
flip a coin.
They would take on Brooklyn in the next round in a best of 7. Thank you for
so
playing.
So they're probably looking
good
at
night.
That going,
Kyrie
oh,
will embarrass them.
I do wonder how far it can drop, because it does have that feel, doesn't it? Like, things can go south, you know, whether it's Jaylen Brown's knee or Kemba's knee, and next thing you know, they're like, yeah, we're going to sit him for a week, and it's kind of flamed up a little bit, because they still, you talk about, like, 10 teams still make the playoffs.
I was going to say, you saying lottery south?
Well, I know. Well, listen, right now they have the 13th pick, I think. Like, something like, it's ridiculous. And unfortunately for them, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, the Raptors and the Wizards, they got a 5-game lead on them. But that's kind of where they're at. A 5-game lead of them basically picking, like, 7th or 8th in the draft. You know, I mean, that's
and
how
you have a 20% chance, right?
That, yeah, that's how that's how bad it kind of is right now for this team. Where well, if there's an injury, you take a good player off the court. Now you don't know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, you might be in better shape doing that than the alternative, which is playing that play-in game. And then what does that mean? Getting embarrassed by Brooklyn. But if Danny Ainge still is sitting in his office now and he still thinks that the game plan is, we've got two young stars in Tatum and Brown, and we're going to take our time. He says it all the time. We're going to be patient, and we're going to be building from that point on. You're crazy, Danny, because I guarantee you, if you took Tatum and Brown and you called up Dallas and you said, we'll give you both Tatum and Brown for Luka, what do you think Dallas would do? They would hang up the phone on you. And you're giving up two All-Stars. They would hang up the phone because Doncic makes a much bigger impact in a game than your two players do. And that's his problem right now. So if he gets to the offseason and he's already given up a portion of the trade exception, he's got an offseason here that is getting a little bit more somber, I think, than he thought.
Yep, I would agree. And he's got a big offseason, too, because he's really got to change the look of this team. He's got some moves to make, and he's got to start putting some guys around him to try to get his stars to play differently or understand how to win. And I know, again, won 3 out of 4 Eastern Conference Finals. I understand. It's probably the worst thing that ever happened to him. This group thinks like they've already accomplished stuff, and that's how they walk around and play. And then all of a sudden they figure out one quarter, let's bust our ass and play the way we should. They look good defensively, but at that point it's too late.
He may have to go out and get a veteran, a legitimate veteran out there, as opposed to getting Tristan Thompson, who's a part-time player and part-time party or whatever. He's still inactive, right? Is he still inactive?
Yeah, he is. That'd be 11 games.
Unbelievable.
Well, maybe 12 now.
Yeah. You may have to get somebody who actually has a major impact on the game because Kemba, as a veteran, is not doing that. This hour of OMF brought to you by the lawyers at Team Malone. No baseball today. We couldn't partake in opening day. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy one of baseball's time-honored traditions, poetry. Baseball is very weird. We got poetry. Baseball poetry. Next.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing head?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
So brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You donate today, the car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Have you guys seen this Pablo Sandoval home run in the bottom half of the
seventh? I refuse to watch anything that includes him.
First of all, he is gigantic.
Sure
right
he is.
Now. I mean, he's Trent Brown gigantic.
Yeah.
And they were down. The Braves were down 2-0 in the bottom of the seventh. He came up as a pinch hitter, hit a 2-run rocket to right field, and that game is now tied. But he is gigantic.
It's
had
amazing.
Trouble getting around a base pass.
They're not surprised. It's got to be a home run because he needs plenty of time to do it.
That's right.
Can you imagine? Okay, let's wait for him.
If it stayed in the ballpark, eventually. He was staying at first base. I'm telling you that.
Pinch hit bomb by Pablo.
Is that unbelievable?
God.
That's all we got to watch here today. So we didn't get an opening day poem because, let's face it, they called off opening day.
By least
the way,
here.
It still hasn't rained yet. It's nope. still, no. Nope.
Only
so,
team, other than, well, the Mets and the Nationals have.
Oh, they got a good excuse.
The Nationals
though.
Have a COVID outbreak, apparently.
Yeah, they do.
So they got postponed because of that. Only team not playing because of the rain that never came.
It's because of Levin Reed.
Listen, it's 6:30 this morning. You had a right to be concerned about the
you
game.
You want to hear right, something funny?
Right. You had a concern.
The Ducks left.
You know, but here's the thing,
the meteorologists
though.
Were all saying that by 1 o'clock yep. the rain was going to stop, and the rain did stop well before that, and it's been fine all day.
When I see Zach, I'm going to kick him in the shin.
You should.
The thing is, that, and also, it's New England. Like, you have a long history. You should understand
exactly.
that it, like, I don't care. It could be snowing cats and dogs. Okay.
Wait an hour. It'll
be gone.
Exactly.
It melted away.
So we didn't get the quality poetry that is generally associated with opening day baseball. So we have to go into the archives today, fellas. This guy loves poems. It's WBZ's Carl Stevens with this opening day gem.
Like wounded gladiators returning to Rome, the World Series champs are coming home. God. Will they say goodbye to a recent bout of sorrow? Well, if it doesn't rain, we'll find out tomorrow, where at Fenway Park they'll have hot dogs to sell. Will the Sox start winning? Time will tell.
Not bad.
The baseball poems are very simplistic.
You notice
there's not a lot of meaning in them or
any hidden messages. He gets into it real hard at the beginning.
Wounded gladiators returning to Rome. The World Series champs are coming home.
Then he gets into his normal voice.
It breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart.
Wounded gladiators coming home.
Why would it be designed to break your heart?
Will they say goodbye to a recent bout of sorrow?
The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again.
Didn't Lou have one?
It wasn't a spring training.
We might play that here.
We're going to get to it.
But we got to bring up the standard
because when you talk about the standard here in Boston with poems dealing with the Red Sox, it has got to be the one and only Dick Flavin.
Oh, boy.
We understand that you have a brand new poem.
I have an opening day poem.
Oh, boy.
Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
That's why we asked.
The long snowbound winter casts a dark pall till one day an umpire hollers play ball. Then skies start to brighten. Blue displaces gray. Baseball springs eternal. It's opening day. The birds start to sing. The trees are in bloom. The umpire's dusting home plate with his broom. It's a brand new beginning, something we all cheer. It's baseball's way of Happy New Year. And then there's another line in there. And baseball playing, it's a Happy New Year. And it goes on and on. Whatever.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Not very good.
Christian, that was rap before rap right there.
I love it when he's like, he's trying to figure out what the next line is, and he's doing it, and he's like,
the baseball playing, it's a Happy New Year.
So he goes back and tries to hopefully that.
It goes on and on. Yeah, whatever.
He just bailed on it altogether. I'm done.
Oh, dude.
So our own Lou Maloney believes in the baseball tradition. On the other hand, he kind of gets away from the norm. If you remember, the 2016 Red Sox collapsed at the end of the season.
I do.
And Lou figured the only way that he could give us his true feelings was to do what you do in baseball when it falls apart, and that is you do poetry.
Well, that sucked. But it's designed to suck when you get eliminated. The game starts in spring when it's cold as f***, and it blossoms into the summer, filling every single, and I mean every single, f***ing afternoon and evening. And then, as soon as the chill rains come, and your hitters can't lay off a f***ing breaking ball in the dirt against Trevor Bauer, and can't be aggressive and continue to take shots against freaking Josh Tomlin, who's not going to walk a guy, but yet you just sit around and you just take strike one after strike one, absolutely no aggressiveness, that pisses you off. And it stops. And it leaves you to watch the Toronto Blue Jays and Ben Cherington versus the Cleveland Indians and Terry Francona, Mike Napoli, Andrew Miller, and Coco Crisp, because your starters suck. And your manager, sure as shit, he ain't gonna win you a game. And the most impactful bat, maybe the most important Red Sox of all time, he ain't coming back next year. So who the f*** is gonna come up with a clutch hit? You tell me. Who the f*** is gonna come up with a clutch hit? Hanley? Hanley?
I tell you what, if Dick Flavin had dropped a couple of F-bombs, it might be a little bit more entertaining.
I think he's got his own style. That we don't give that enough credit.
Hanley without David Ortiz, does that scare anybody? It scares the shit out of me.
The emotions that go up and down, like truly award-winning. Why don't we enter that in some sort of like, international poem competition?
Right. That's a poem.
Swept by the Indians. Indians.
I love it.
So the true emotion.
And then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and leaves you to face the fall alone.
It's a little different.
Not nearly enough anger or venom in that.
It's got a different style entirely. Hi, Mutt.
The best type of poetry doesn't follow like a pattern. Like Peter King does those like adios haikus or whatever. We don't need that. That's boring. Lou just got right to it.
Yeah, that was not great. I remember you writing that. It was impressive. Like I forgot how good that was.
So Mutt, you got up early this morning. I'm sure, just like Lou, you were ready for the pregame show and the whole works, and then your whole world just fell apart.
I was not as angry as Lou was today.
Who the f*** is going to come up with a clutch hit? Hanley?
Given this team's play last year, I'll wait one more day.
No.
Meanwhile, we got Red Sox roundtable tonight because opening day is tomorrow. Lou's going to join us at 8. Rob Rapp.
Again?
Like every night. Lou, you're going to get sick of this.
You keep doing it.
How many more roundtables can we have? I'm out.
Are you going to have greenies for tomorrow?
Oh, no, I don't need them. I don't need them.
You good to go?
I'm ready to go tomorrow. Now I'm excited. Like I said, it's like Sundays you're pissed the Patriots don't play, but then Monday morning you wake up and you're excited?
Yeah,
here we go. I'm ready to go.
So we'll get through, like you guys, 4 hours instead of a shortened show. We'll talk to our buddy Tommy Curran about his Bob Kraft comments. He had a big takeaway dealing with Coach Belichick with Kraft's comments. And Andy Hart will join us in studio on the Patriots. And the importance of this year for the Red Sox, obviously leading into opening day tomorrow.
So you'll be there tomorrow for the pregame show,
110
right?
pregame show with Red Sox tickets. Show. So good to go, yeah.
I heard it's going to be a beautiful day. A little cold,
a little
beautiful
chilly.
Day.
It'll be sunny, though.
Yeah.
Be sunny.
All right.
All right, so we do the same drill. Guys, after the game.
After the game.
Lou, get up early in the morning, get the uni out
ready.
There, go out there and get all ready for the
ready.
Game.
Take
and
two.
Hopefully, they won't be soft tomorrow, and the Red Sox organization will sit there and say, let's play some baseball. Have a great night, everybody. We're out of here. Good night. Stay safe.
And it goes on and on. Whatever.
This is WEEI.